City Finance will come to order. It's a little after 9:00 a.m. I'm joined today by Senator Dyson, Stedman, Senator Wilken, and myself, Senator Green. There's been a little change in the schedule for today because the sponsor on Senate Bill 63 has asked that that be held until Wednesday. Apparently, they have some staffing problems and some problems getting all the information together. So we'll begin with House Bill 158. For that, Senator Wilken, did you have anything for the good of the order before we get started?
No, ma'am. Thanks for asking.
Representative Meyer, are you and Pete presenting, or are you by yourself today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'll do the presenting, and if you ask too many hard questions, then I'll bring up Pete.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Finance Committee. House Bill 158 is...
Representative Meyer, would you just identify yourself, please?
Sure, sorry, I should know this. Yeah, Representative Meyer, and I'm with the House of Representatives, co-chair of Finance. House Bill 158 proposes changing the name of the existing public school account to the Public Education Fund. Also, what this bill is going to do is clarify that the money that's appropriated for public education stay and be used for K through 12 public education purposes. Currently, as you know, Madam Chair, when the legislature appropriates money for K through 12, we tend to overestimate what the number of students are going to be, and then every year, there's this lapse money that's left over. This lapse money then goes into the general fund. This year, it's about $14 million. And every year, we fight with the administration, any administration, not just this one. This has been going on for some time, over using that general fund money that's been lapsed. What this would do, this fund would say that any money that's left over for K through 12 will stay in this fund and can only be used for educational purposes. The funding mechanism does not change. Just because we set up this education fund to pay for education doesn't mean that our schools are going to get any more money or any less money. It just, that has to be done by a separate bill. This year, on the House side, we have House Bill 1 that determines what the base student amount is going to be. So that is what's going to determine what the amount for education is going to be. This fund will just simply then, based on the formula, kick the money out for K through 12 foundation formula, and also for people transportation, if we want to use it for that purpose. These districts really aren't going to see any difference. They're still going to receive their money. They're going to be happy. It's going to be totally transparent. So why are we doing this? Basically, it's just a truth in budgeting, Madam Chair. We're just saying that, look, if we're going to, when we budget, and we're going to budget this amount of money, we want that money to go to education and not have it lapse over and be used for other general government services. And again, it's a fairly substantial amount. This year, $14 million. Last couple of years, $12 million, $8 million. So it's an amount that we need to capture and keep it for its purpose, which is education. Madam Chair, I'll stop there and entertain any questions.
Are there questions for the sponsor? Well, I know, and I think it's important to restate the fact that this stays as an ongoing account and is not swept at the end of the year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Representative Meyer. And there's still, I think you said very clearly, there's still an appropriation required each year when money is going to be appropriated from this to fund education.
That's correct.
Just as it is now. So
yes.
It's not a any different. Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sometimes the simplest solutions are right in front of you, you know? And so, I mean, I applaud this approach because it takes away that annual argument that we have. After we've battled the year before for a huge appropriation, and every year we come back and we battle with the administration, doesn't make any difference which one, for the money that we already battled for. And so this just says, that's our money, we got it, we're going to keep it. And the way I see it, it's sort of a springboard to the next year. So, thank you, it's a good bill. Thanks.
A little head start on the next year's financing. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Can you give me those amounts again that we're dealing with over the last couple of years?
Sure. This year, the lapse money is $14.5 million. If my memory serves me correct, it was $8 million last year, and the year before it was $12 million.
Does that sound right, Pete?
Eddie, maybe Eddie knows better, the history.
That's certainly the range.
Yeah, the range has always been somewhere between 8 and 14 million.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Are there other questions for the sponsor? Has anyone signed up to testify? I don't have any. The departments fine with the note, don't need to testify. Okay, the rule of the committee.
Madam Chair, move to report House Bill 158 from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
House Bill 158 moves from committee. Fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Meyer.
Members of the committee.
Thank you.
Okay, there, Mr. Co-Chairman.
Representative Anderson, are you presenting today for our House Bill 115?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Customer facility charges. Do we have anyone that's supposed to be testifying for you that is not here? Because I only have... John Steiner is for 150. Yeah. John Steiner.
Madam Chair, John Steiner with the Department of Law will talk about some of the bond aspects of the legislation and some changes we made in the Senate. Mark Pfeffer is in transit, so I don't think we'll be able to testify today, but he's the individual who is working on the project.
Yeah, I know. He visited about this project and I'm very excited about it. Okay. Go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. HB 115 provides a mechanism called a customer facility charge, or CFC, to improve airport facilities without the expenditures of state funds. The most common projects that CFCs are used to fund are car rental facilities. This bill will also provide a revenue stream to maintain and operate the facilities without requiring an increase in the airport operating budget. And I think that's a key point, that we're not looking at state expenses, rather private and customer. And this occurs as the cost of maintenance will be paid for by the related customer facility maintenance charge, and we're able to escape state obligation. Quick background, in 2001, the legislature passed legislation authorizing the use of the CFC. So this bill really doesn't create the CFC, it's already been created. But the CFC was to fund the construction of improvements on airport properties. And CFCs have been imposed by many other airports around the country, Dallas, Denver, as a means of funding car rental facility improvements as well, and hence this bill. A private industry, again, Mark Pfeffer, leading the charge, initiated a project, and I think all of the airport car rental companies in Anchorage are involved, and it's for the process of undertaking a similar project at the Ted Stevens International Airport. This project was delayed back after 9/11, and so now we're moving ahead again, but needed to clarify some aspects of this bonding. During negotiations with the state over the implementation of the project, bond counsel identified certain issues with language set forth by this past law in 2001, which they felt should be clarified to ensure that the bonds would be marketable. Those issues essentially revolve around clarifying that the new revenue stream generated by the CFC would not be considered revenue of the state when the bond is a private initiative, and ensuring that the bond trustee, not the state, takes custody of the funds. The definition of what bond-related purposes the CFCs could be applied to will also be clarified to include debt reserve funds and other bond underwriter requirements. Because the facility will revert to the state in its entirety at the end of the term, it was also decided that it would be appropriate to allow the imposition of a customer facility maintenance charge to ensure that the facility is well maintained and kept up appropriately. So when someone rents a vehicle, they would have to pay a charge that goes directed to this project. The charge also avoids any impact on the airport's operating budget, as the airport will not be responsible for the maintenance and repair of the facility while under RAC control. This authority needs to be set separately from the CFC, again, for the protection of the bondholders. And that's one of the reasons, as Chairman of Labor and Commerce, I sponsored the legislation, because I didn't want it to obligate the state. And that was kind of the innovation of this legislation, in parity with these other cities like Denver and Dallas and so forth, that they didn't tie together their respective states. And just some quick points of interest, Madam Chair. CFCs are projected to be less than $4 per transaction in Anchorage. HB 115 offers new jobs, of course, with this construction, and efficiency and innovation in the car rental market at the airport. and a partnership with private enterprise, as well as modernization to compete with airports nationally and enhance convenience in Anchorage when we all go through that airport. And as Anchorage continues to grow its tourism base, added with the potential of the new convention center and the Bill Sheffield, the railroad depot there, a new car rental facility will be a welcome addition to our robust, of course, and growing city. House transportation added an immediate effective date in the Senate, and, pardon me, in the House. And Senate transportation made linguistic revisions as recommended by the Department of Law, John Steiner, who's on teleconference. And these changes were made to further tighten up the bill's language and reduce the risk of misinterpretations on the bonding. Of course, there are letters of support, as I mentioned, from all the rental car companies, the majority of them, Hertz, National, Thrifty, Dollar. And in my notes, it says here to testify is Mark Pfeffer, but obviously he's flying in, so he's not here. But I do know that John Steiner is online if you have real technical questions on the bonding.
And John Steiner is the person to explain the changes made in Senate transportation.
Correct.
One question I wanted to ask before we go there: what does this look like when you're all finished? What do we get? What's added to the airport?
Sure. Madam Chair, if Mark Pfeffer was here, I think he could go through the architectural thought process that they're looking at in the pre-planning stages. But the intent would be to have a connector to the airport so that you wouldn't have to, presumption is, I think there's two designs, one where you're shuttled off near the airport, or the other would be connected to. And I'm not for sure what their project entails to that end, and I think it's still a work in progress. But either way, the idea is it's more convenient if you go to Anchorage specifically now. By the way, this legislation opens it up for any state airport to do this. If there's a population base enough to warrant, you know, you'd have to probably have a pretty big fee if it were Ketchikan or someplace like that, and I don't know if it would work. Might in Fairbanks. But in Anchorage, folks have to walk through the parking lot outside. I was just there 2 weeks ago, you know, carrying skis, and you have to go through the airport, actually parking garage, walking, then down, and then back up to check in. So it's pretty difficult. And with that, I think that would include, I think these companies have committed to have more staff to man those satellite offices, because right now when you drop off your vehicle, I mean, there's nobody to greet you. So it says drop the key in the box, but there's nobody there to drop, so you have to remember your mileage and trudge your way up.
And it would essentially be a covered facility, would it not?
Oh, correct.
Because I think that's a pretty important feature of all of this. Are there questions for the sponsor before we go to Mr. Steiner? Mr. Steiner, do you want to kind of walk us through the changes that were made in Senate transportation and what the reason for that was and what the impact is?
Madam Chair, am I online?
Yes, you are. Loud and clear. You just give your name and start off.
Thank you very much. This is John Steiner with the Attorney General's Office in the Transportation Section, and I am the primary counsel to the Anchorage International, or Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport and the Alaska International Airport System. The changes in the Senate transportation were primarily linguistic, as Representative Anderson mentioned. There's such things as noting that the possibility of having the imposition of CSCs is only in a project which has the approval of the commissioner, which was an important detail to note, clarified everyone's understanding, that any third party, as well as any trustee to whom these charges might be paid, would be a third party bound to use the proceeds for principal interest and reserves, just like a trustee. Before it had said trustee or third party without making the clarification that the third party would be bound similarly to a trustee. That the charge would be set at amount, not that the amount of the charge itself would satisfy the requirements, but that it would generate proceeds to satisfy the requirements of the indebtedness, things along those lines that just made it more precise. The concept of maintaining reserves, I believe, may have been, I think that was added in this shift from the original bill, although I don't recall that might have been in there originally. Oh, one other thing was that it was intended at the beginning that this could apply to a situation where even in the pre-construction stage, when there is no facility to be actually occupied, that it could, that the CFC could begin to be charged through for the customers of entities that would use this facility once it is built. So there was a clause that talks about that the facility is or will be secured by the proceeds of the customer facility charge. In order for a customer facility charge to begin to be collected during some of the preliminary stages before construction actually occurs. So that was another clarification. Let's see if there was something else here that I wanted to mention. Just some slight language changes in the terms of that this would apply to a facility built for state ownership, but part of it is it could be applied if the state itself issues the revenue bonds, or if a third party other than the state on behalf of the Department of Transportation issues the bonds, and there was just some slight language change in that clause as well. Finally, I believe, and Representative Anderson could correct me if I'm wrong, there is a clause that I'm not sure exactly when it was added. I think it was added at this most recent phase. They clarified that these customer facility charges would be exempt from taxation because they would be a charge for basically to pay for a facility to be turned over to the state, so they wouldn't be taxable on top of that. And that was another clarification I believe was added in the most recent amendment.
Where is that reference? Can you recall?
Toward the very end, just before the effective date, Madam Chair, Section 7.
Give me some comments. In Section 7. Is that correct,
Representative Anderson? Yes, Madam Chair, page 7, if you notice, line 4 states, as amended to read, and then it's number 1, as fees and costs means all charges incurred by the renter before the tax imposed. And then they added to that list, meaning will not be taxed. F and F. I wonder why it says F and F.
Oh. Wait, there's a typo.
Yeah, it looks
there.
Like a typo, boy.
I guess we need a technical correction there. Okay.
I didn't even catch that.
Okay, so now this then could apply not only to a similar airport project, but to other projects, other approved.
That's correct. But John, isn't it correct that through the chair that typically this is just for this type of rental car design?
Madam Chair, typically it would be for a facility that would be occupied by a single user or group of users, and the facility being prepared by either a third party for turning over to the state or by the state for use by those private entities, typically, in which those private entities would be supplying the revenue stream for the facility. We have not seen fit to use it in the past, and for rental car facilities is a common one. There are some facilities that have been built around the country, special terminals for airlines, but we don't see on the horizon the likelihood of doing that at this point.
Are there any other questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As you look at this facility, you're saying that at the end of the period, the state is going to become the owner of it? What are the maintenance costs for this facility? Do you have any idea?
And I can't answer, Madam Chair, until, I mean, that would be the project designer would have to answer.
Is that not the obligation, though, that goes along with the language here that says it will stay in the maintenance fund? to maintain. And so there's not anticipated that the state would have any maintenance fund cost during the life of this, because that's what this charge is about.
Madam Chair, if you'd like, I might be able to respond to that.
Okay, go ahead.
This is John Steiner again. Because I have participated in negotiation of a memorandum of understanding that would underlie this agreement, it is anticipated at this point that the customer facility charge and the customer facility maintenance charge would together be somewhere around $4 total. That could go up a little bit, but it will be known before the project begins. And Madam Chair was absolutely correct that during the period of time during these bonds, the state will have no maintenance obligation for the facility, but the facility will be maintained by an entity that is created by the developer to manage it, primarily manage it through the charge under the facility maintenance charge. To the extent there is any additional operation and maintenance costs over the amount supplied by the facility maintenance charge, it would have to be allocated to the tenant mother car companies rather than be the responsibility of the state.
Does that answer your question, Senator Olson?
Yeah, I have no question.
Follow up? Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What are the chances that the rates are going to escalate in 5 or 10 years from now from the charge that's going to be currently charged?
Madam Chair, the main cause of rates possibly increasing would be a reduction in the amount of traffic through the facility. And of course, a feasibility consultant before the bonds are sold is estimating the amount of rental car traffic anticipated to use the facility, the number of, as they call them, transaction days of rentals. And that should be known, what those estimates are, projections are, in advance. If that estimate turns out to be high and the amount of rental car traffic decreases, that could be one cause of the charges to go up. The other possibility would be increases in the maintenance charge or maintenance cost, which could either be put into an increase in the facility maintenance charge if the commissioner decided to, or it could be just required by the commissioner basically to be absorbed by the rental car companies if the commissioner saw fit not to increase the facility maintenance charge much higher. But the dollar amount for the debt service should be known in advance based on the total cost of the facility and the total number of transactions and the interest rate on the bonds, of course, which will then set the total amount that has to be paid each year. So it'll be driven by the number of transactions that occur each year.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm just kind of curious. He had addressed, if there's a potential revenue shortfall. Apparently, the only way to make that up is an increase in fees. There's going to be no way for the bondholders then to come back against the state. And then if I could add one other quick one. The $4, Madam Chair, the $4 roughly estimated fee, that's per day, per average car size, and I'm just kind of curious at the end of the duration of the bonds, or the time frame of the bonds, if that $4 average is going to be dropped, or is it just going to, it seems like a lot of these fees that get embedded in these airports, once they're in, they never leave. I'd like to have those two addressed, please.
John, do you have any idea on that?
Let's see, I'll take the second question first. As I understand it, after the 30-year life of the bonds, unless there were a major rehab project or something like that, in all likelihood, the customer facility charge would cease. A facility maintenance charge conceivably might continue in order to pay for the continued maintenance of the facility. At that point, however, it might be shifted into more of a state revenue stream, because at that point, the state would be taking over the complete control of the facility, including operations and maintenance, and it would be more like any other revenue to the airport to support airport maintenance of facilities. The first part question was as to whether there would be recourse against the state. The bonds would be issued as solely pledged. The support behind the bonds would be a sole pledge of CFC revenues without recourse to the state, either the general fund or the airport fund. The only way in which the state might become responsible in any way would be some kind of a litigation alleging that the state had somehow not fulfilled its obligation to impose the CFC or otherwise make, you know, some misrepresentation or something. So other than a meltdown lawsuit situation kind of a thing, it is designed so that the state does not hold liability.
Did you get your first question answered, Senator Stedman?
Yes, but I have one more, Madam Chairman, if I may. 30 years is a long time, Madam Chairman. I'm just kind of curious what provisions the bonds will be issued under that would allow or basically have the ability for the bondholders to put it to the airport to increase that fee to deal with ongoing maintenance in the future. 20 years out, 25 years out, I would imagine there'll be substantially more maintenance on the facility than there would be in the first 5 years.
Is the fee per day actually spelled out in the bill, or is that still to be determined?
Madam Chair, I'm going to ask John. John, could you, in response to Senator Stedman, could you please respond to the kind of the elasticity of that fee and how it can be reduced one more time or increase? Because I think what he's getting at is that over 30 years there may be a need to increase it more. And is there language to do that? Is that accurate, Senator Stedman?
Correct.
Yes, Madam Chair, I can address that. And obviously, as legal counsel, I'm getting a little bit beyond legal and into business, but for the benefit of the department and the Department of Transportation, if there's someone there would like to pipe up and do this instead of me, I'd be glad to share the burden. But absent that, the situation is that the state holds the underlying lease or owns the underlying property and leases to the entity that then manages for the rental cars. Because the state does receive the full facility, it actually owns title from the beginning and obtains complete possessory rights at the end of 30 years. The state will be very keen to make sure that it is maintained well throughout that period. The commissioner will decide how much of the maintenance cost gets put into the CFC or CFMC, customer facility maintenance charge, and passed directly on to customers. If there is more maintenance required than is appropriately borne under that charge, the rental car companies would simply be required to absorb that under their subleases with the facility management company that is managing the facility to ensure that the state gets it back in a well-maintained with the rest of its remaining useful life, at least another 10 years, without huge investment by the state at that point. So it's up to the commissioner, but there will be mechanisms in the contracts to enable the state to make sure that it is well maintained throughout.
So the commissioner actually sets the fee?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
I think that's what we were kind of missing there in the conversation. So are there other questions? Is Kip Knutson online? No. Okay. There was a possibility he was going to be able to join us today and may have been able to speak to more of the DOT issues. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Yes, come ahead. Step up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because DOT, my name is Bob Evans, I'm sorry. I represent Venture Development Group, which is the group that will be participating in the development of this project with the car rental facilities. For the committee, and since DOT isn't here, I thought I'd mention that DOT has been working with us from the very beginning. They're very supportive. We've worked with Mort Plum, Kip Knutson, with the airport, and they have been working with us to make this happen and engaged in development of the language and of the plan and of the, and so I just wanted the committee to be aware of that.
I understand that you generally had pretty good support for this throughout in all the levels of government and the public and the airport and the, your neighbors and...
That's correct, Madam Chair. In fact, I haven't really heard anyone not supportive of it in terms of the car rental industry or chamber or Convention and Visitors Bureau. Often they don't get involved with private contracts with letters of support, but they certainly, in private conversation, I think are optimistic that a new car rental facility, either attached or off-site, but where you can have transportation too, would be beneficial for tourism. So it's kind of a win-win for the everyone.
Are there any other questions of the sponsor? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the questions that I have, and I certainly applaud you for having many of the levels of government involved. How about the people that are the end users, the private sector, the other leaseholders that have got spots that they lease from the state around Lakewood, around the airport, and those places? Small air taxi operators, the bigger airline.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, right now there are eight car rental agency or companies that will be in the terminal. Mm-hmm. And the terminal to be accessed through a tunnel that, that comes off the tunnel that goes to the railroad terminal at this time, and there'll be a lobby there. There are going to be off facility car rental companies. Those companies will not charge a customer facility charge. A person can avoid paying the customer facility charge by either getting in a shuttle or taking a taxi. Indeed, you could even go to one of the other car rental companies, say Hertz, which is going to have an operation, a booth right there at the airport, but you could go to the downtown, I don't know where it is, Hilton Hertz office and rent a car and not pay the customer facility charge there if a person chose to do that.
And if you mean, through the chair, if you mean the land, I think they already have land designated and purchased, so that I don't think they're going to attempt to usurp or take or, you know, other land or private land. So we haven't heard anyone. I mean, isn't with the venture group, don't they already have land?
It's actually, through Madam Chair, the way this structure is going to be, when you come out of the airport, to the right is the parking lot, right now is the railroad terminal, and where the open area is where the car rental vehicles are right now, that's where the facility will be. It'll be a four-story structure, and as I indicated, there will be a tunnel that comes off of the tunnel into the airport, right into a lobby. You'll go ahead and do your business there. Right behind it will be cars you go pick up, drive out. On the second floor, there'll be, each company will have the ability to clean the cars, wash them, maintain them, get them ready for service again. And then the other two floors, four floors total, will be spaces for cars to, mm-hmm, to be held.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions? Senator Shevin.
Madam Chair, could I get a brief definition of who the development group is? I'm not real clear on that.
And you?
Madam Chair, Senator Stedman, Venture Development Group was approached by the car rental companies back in 2000 to initiate this process. And as I indicated in a bill, or as Representative Anderson indicated, in 2001, Senator Cowdery had a bill that was passed that allowed the customer facility charge to be passed for the purposes of debt service. We subsequently, after getting over the very serious obstacles of 9/11, realized we had to expand it for operations and maintenance. The Venture Development Group is primarily a joint venture of Jerry Neisser, who is the president of Neisser Construction, I believe the largest construction company in the state, and Mark Pfeffer, who's president of Coombs Pfeffer Bettis, the largest architectural firm in the state. And they have been involved in a number of projects, most recently a very successful design build completion of the API facility.
Does that answer your question, Senator Stedman?
Well, it creates more questions, Madam Chair, but that's fine. That answers the question.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to correct on page 7, line 16, change the F to a G.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Wilkin makes the motion. Is there any objection to correcting the record so that that reflects on line 16, the letter G? Thank you. Hello. Mark Pfeffer has just walked in. Would you like to testify? We're about finished with the discussion on this, if you have anything that you would...
Questions if needed.
As we're shaking our head, unless you need them to.
I was going to give you a break if you wanted to talk to him to say what we've done, and then he could come to the table if he chooses. Would you like that?
Yeah.
We'll just take
sure,
a brief,
sure,
brief at ease. Mark Pfeffer is going to be in the building today, and if any of you have any questions that you want to ask of him or of Representative Anderson today, take the opportunity to do so, and let's kind of be sure this is exactly the way we want it. And if anyone has any amendments or anything they want to discuss, we'll try to bring this back up tomorrow and continue the discussion there, and then see if it's ready to go on its way. Senator Wilkin.
Senator Hoffman, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hoffman just asked me a question. It's a good question, and I hadn't thought of it. Representative Anderson, how much does, over 30 years, does $4 a car generate?
That would be an interesting, I would have to extrapolate that out with a calculator.
Senator Stedman.
Let me ask the question in another way.
Okay.
A lot of real estate ventures, the return is broken out between ongoing cash flow and the residual value of the liquidation of it. And apparently there's going to be no liquidation of it, it's just going to be transferred to the state. So it's all going to come off of the ongoing cash flow. And here we're going to access the bonding ability and backing of the state on a revenue bond. And I'm wondering what parameters are there in there to make sure that there's a fair and equitable rate of return to the development group, but it doesn't become an excessive rate of return using state-backed leverage. I'm just wondering the regulatory arena that's going to govern us to protect the public.
You want to address? If you'll give your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mark Pfeffer with Venture Development Group, through the chair, Senator. The actual transfer of the facility will be at the completion of construction, not at the end of the life of the bonds. So there will be a customary development fee charged during the development of the project that would be part of the total capital costs and of the bond issuance. I'm not sure if that's answering your question, but...
You want to restate your question? Or?
And then I assume that the hurdle rate that the Venture Development Corporation is using is zero?
The, pardon, which rate?
Your rate of return on your investment is zero?
Correct.
Is zero?
Zero, yeah. There's a development fee charged for the total development of the project right during, upfront during the development, and that fee is capitalized as part of the allowable capital cost of the overall project. And then the transfer is to the state at the total cost, or to the airport for the total cost, and then we have no more ownership in the facility. So there's no rate of return over time.
Does that answer your question, Senator Stedman? Or do you,
yes,
would
Madam
you like
Chair.
For would you like for Mr. Pfeffer to come by your office?
Yeah, I probably have a few more questions for him. That'd be nice.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. My question is, did other
corporations or entities have a chance to make proposals on this, and are we, there'll likely be criticism about it being kind of sole source. And if you want, you can answer that question, you know, next time we meet or now, or whatever.
I can answer now, through the chair. Senator Dyson, the initial work started on this project in the year 2000, and it was actually the car rental industry sought out somebody who was willing to kind of take on organizing and developing the project. Over that time, the last 4.5 years, we've sort of steadfastly worked away at it at risk. And the opportunity to compete is when the airport advertises the ground for lease at the airport, which that should be going out this week. And at that point, they'll do a public notice and advertisement of, is there anybody else that has any interest in proposing on this, and what's their plan? So that's the form of competition that will occur at the ground lease level.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Good question. I think so.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Are there further questions?
I have one.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And given the growth of Alaska, does this facility anticipate the needs, the growth needs for the state for 30 years or?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, we believe it does. It will provide approximately 1,400 spaces. I guess maybe the best way to understand it is the facility is going to use the same ground area as the car rental companies use today, but it will be 4 stacks high, so roughly 4 times the space. It will also locate the quick turnaround facilities into the facility, so car wash, fueling, vacuuming. So that will allow all of that activity to occur at the airport. As they do grow in 30 years, the plan would be to relocate or consider relocating them off airport, like you see in a lot of other major airports. And then this facility would convert to a public parking garage.
Other questions? And again, those of you who want, have questions or want to get them answered, Mark Pfeffer is in the building today, and would be happy to address your questions and get the information for you. And so if any of you have any additional questions, then I'm sure you can talk to Representative Anderson as well. And
Madam Chair, Mark's willing to send you all to Anchorage with a bunch of luggage when it's a snowstorm and then walk through the current.
Oh, thank you.
Just kidding.
Okay, then we'll set this aside for today and hopefully get back to it tomorrow. And I want to be sure there's no one else online on teleconference who wishes to testify. Okay. And then tomorrow we'll be meeting at 9 a.m. to hear Senate Bill 100 and House Bill 64. Those are on our schedule. Any other announcements, Senator Wilkin?
No, ma'am. Thank you.